turn with me to the 21st chapter of John, and I'd like to begin reading some scripture there in the first verse. The Gospel according to John, chapter 21, the last chapter of John, beginning with verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And I want to stop reading there having read through verse 22. The title of my message this morning will be a question. Ask primarily to those of us who have been saved. And that question is, do you love me? I want to ask you to do something this morning. I want to ask you to take away the name Simon, as the Lord Jesus called Peter here. I want you to take the name Simon out of that question, and I want you to put your name in there. And I want each of us to think about the Lord Jesus standing in front of us and addressing us by our name and asking the question, do you love me? These men were what we know as the apostles. They had spent about 3 years in very close fellowship with Jesus. You can go back and you can read about how that when the Lord called these men, Peter being one of them, that some of them were by trade fishermen. And when he called Simon and Andrew and James and John, we read in the first part of the book of Matthew, in about the third or fourth chapter of Matthew, the third chapter, I believe. But we read about when Jesus called these men, that they were actually involved in their trade at the time that he called them. It talks about James and John actually leaving their father with the nets and going and following Jesus. And so they had left their trade as fishermen behind for a time and had gone and followed after him. Now we come to the place in these verses that I have read, about three and a half years, somewhere around that time later, that the Lord had been crucified and he had resurrected and he had appeared before this time, had already appeared twice unto his disciples. And Simon Peter went, said, I'm going back to my trade. I'm going fishing. There were seven of them that were present. And the others said, well, we will go with you. And so after that, these men had been ordained, after that he had called them away from their trade of fishing, and as he did Matthew away from his job there as the tax collector, and after that they had gone out and followed the Lord and had learned of him very closely for these 3 to 3.5 years. And, you know, the Apostle Peter at one point, he said, Lord, we have forsaken all to follow after you. And after he had ordained them as his apostles and all of this, he stands before Simon Peter and he singles him out. Simon. And after all of that, he asks him, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? And I know that Jesus did not tell us here specifically what it was that he was asking Simon Peter. I really don't think, I've read different things about it, and I really don't believe that he was asking Simon Peter if he loved him more than the other disciples loved him. I don't really believe that was the question. I do believe that possibly he was asking him, do you love me more than you love them? Or possibly he was asking him, do you love me more than you love these things of your trade? Do you have that type of love for me? But we don't know exactly what it was he was asking him, because he didn't tell us. But we do know that the Lord was asking him if he possessed a love for him that was above other things. And we notice in this that Simon Peter, as he began to answer the Lord, we notice that after the third time that Jesus asked him the question and called his love for him into question, because that's what he was doing here. He was calling his love for him into question. Do you love me? And we see that Peter got frustrated with it. After the third time he was asked the question, he got a little bit perplexed about it. And I wondered, when I studied this, and when I thought, and when the Lord placed these thoughts on my heart and I studied these scriptures, I wondered that when this sermon goes forth today, if the message calls into question our love for Christ, how are we going to react to that? Are we going to be frustrated by that? Are we going to be somewhat put out by that, the way that the Apostle Peter seemed to be? Or are we really going to ask ourselves that question and ponder that deep down in our hearts? Do we really love the Lord Jesus? Love is something, and I know that you have heard me say this before, and no doubt have heard others say this before. You know, the words "I love you" certainly are sweet words. I still tell my grown children that I love them, and they'll say, "Well, I love you too, Dad." I mean, certainly they are sweet words to hear. Certainly it's wonderful to express to someone in words that you love them. But I'm telling you that love is something that must be shown. If you're really going to convince somebody that you love them, you have got to show them that you love them. You can't tell somebody that, you certainly couldn't tell somebody, "I love you," and then turn around and try to run them down with your car and expect them to believe that you love them. You have to do good things for them. Love must be shown. Christ, the Bible tells us that in this was the love of God manifested toward us, in that he sent his only begotten Son. You see, God, the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that because of that love that he had for us, that it prompted him to action. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Do you think that your children would have ever believed your words if you would have told them over and over that you love them, and you would have never been willing to provide them with the things that you are responsible for as a parent? If you would not have been willing to do anything for them to be fed and to be clothed and these things that we're responsible for, do you think that they would believe that you love them? Love is something that must be proven. Action does indeed speak louder than words. And I'm sure that today that we would all say, as David said, and as we find recorded in the 116th Psalm, when the psalmist David said, "I love the Lord. I love him because he hath heard my voice and my supplications." And I'm sure that all of us that have been saved would certainly acknowledge today and would certainly be willing to make that statement, "I love the Lord because of what he did for me." I do believe that everybody that has been saved has a certain love in their hearts for the Lord. But I believe that the Lord wants more than that. I believe that He wants us to show that we love Him by the things that we do for Him. And so, was it proper? Was it proper for Jesus to question the love of Simon Peter? Was it proper for Him to ask him three different times, "Do you love me?" And Peter would say, "Yes, Lord, I love you." "Simon Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, I love you." "Simon Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, you know that I love you." Was it, was the Lord harassing him? Was it right for him to ask him that three times? Well, was not Simon Peter the man that denied three times even knowing the Lord? Did not Jesus tell him before the cock crows twice, "You'll deny me thrice"? Sure, he was the one that had stood and before those people warming himself by the fire when Jesus was going through the horrid things that he was, and when they said, "You're one of those. You're one of those disciples," and the apostle Peter categorically denied, "I don't even know the man." Have you ever denied knowing the Lord? Have you? Think about it. Have you ever denied knowing the Lord, even knowing Him? You know what? You may have never done as the Apostle Peter did. You may have never stood before a crowd of people and with your voice and with your words said, "I don't even know the Lord," but let me ask you this and think about it in your own heart. Have you ever denied Him by your actions in life? Have you ever denied your relationship with the Lord by not doing what He expects us to do? Have you ever denied the Lord and your relationship with Him when you're in a crowd of perhaps your worldly friends and you do nothing to stand up for Him? You do nothing to speak for Him? You may not have said, "I don't know Him," in words, but have you denied Him with your actions? I believe that we've got problems in our country too. But I'll tell you what, I believe we've got some big problems in our churches that need to be fixed. I thought Brother Todd, if you could have heard the lesson downstairs today, I thought Brother Todd did a great job teaching the lesson about worldly possessions and what they really mean and the place that they really ought to not hold in the lives of the people of God. I thought he brought out some excellent points. And I wonder sometimes, do we love the Lord? I believe that perhaps that was part of the question that he was asking the Apostle Peter. Do you love me more than this stuff? Do you love me more than these material things? Do you love the Lord enough today to spend and to be spent for Him? This morning I got kind of carried away in Brother Carlock's prayer. I thought he was praying a very humble prayer, and in that prayer he said this, and I hope that he doesn't mind me repeating something he said in prayer, but I heard Brother Carlock praying, and he asked in his prayer that the Lord would give us, that we would have more love for Him and more love for His cause. Our love for the Lord is shown in a lot of ways. You know what? Our love for the Lord is shown in what we do with our money. Is it not? Our love for the Lord is shown in what we do with even the material blessings that He blesses us with. How much of it do we spend on us? How much of it is spent on, as Brother Fugate was pointing out, how much of it is even used on things that we don't even need? Things that don't even really matter. In fact, probably a lot of things that we would be better off if we didn't even possess them in the first place. Oh, he really, boy, I tell you what, he crossed the line down there this morning. He was bad-mouthing the television. You know that big old thing that sits there in your house, and you know what it does most of the time? It wastes your time. It wastes your time. Do you love him? Well, here's what Jesus said. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, and we'll do the love quiz here. Because, you know, if we really love him, we've got to love him based upon his conditions, don't we? Not based upon our rules, but based upon his rules. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 10, 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. How many of you had wonderful parents? How many of you were blessed with wonderful parents? Parents that were good to you, that provided for you, that loved you, that made it possible for you to be clothed and to be fed and to have a warm bed to sleep in and to get an education. How many of you were blessed with parents that were willing to sacrifice and to do those things for you? But Jesus Christ the Lord said, if you want to be worthy of me, you've got to love your father and you've got to love your mother more than you love, or you've got to love me rather more than you love them. You've got to love me above your father and your mother. He goes on and he says, he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Boy, I'll tell you what, when my little children were born in this world, I was as happy as I could be. I never will forget the blessing that I felt in becoming a father. I took those little babies up in my arms. Each time that one of them would come into the world, I took them up in my arms and I held them close to me and I embraced them and I loved them and I was just as happy as I could be. And I feel the same way about my grandchildren. I'm thankful for them and I'm thankful that God blessed me with them. But I know that when I look at them, as much as I love them, I know that I've got to love God more than I love my sons and my daughter. I've got to love the Lord more than I love my sweet little grandchildren. If I'm going to be worthy of him at all, I've got to love him above them. I'll tell you what, the house that I live in doesn't mean nearly as much to me as they do. I'd give it up in a heartbeat if it was to help one of them. But the Lord tells us that yes, we've got to love him more than houses or land. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you have got to be willing to forsake all of those things. You know what? A child, and the Bible teaches us very plainly that children are to obey their parents in the Lord. But you know what? I believe that a person that we even still consider to be a child, if God is calling upon them to do something in his service, they have got to be willing to do that even if it goes against the desires and the wishes of their parents. They've got to be willing to love the Lord enough to stand up for him. And I know we have heard of situations where people have had to do that. We don't face that perhaps as much in our country, but I'll never forget hearing Brother Koi Tajima's testimony about how that when he got saved, how that when those missionary brethren came to Japan and brought the gospel to him and he got saved, that his family wouldn't have anything to do with him. They excommunicated him. They kicked him out and they turned their backs on him. But he had to love the Lord more than he loved them. And we have got to listen. If we really love the Lord, we better love him with all of our heart. We better love him with more than just our lips, because Jesus taught us very plainly that you can give the Lord great lip service and your heart be far from him. All right, here's the requirement. That we love Father, that we love him above father or mother, that we love him above son or daughter, that we are willing, boy, and I'll tell you what, here's the clincher. You know what Jesus said in order to be his disciple? You know what he said we've got to do? We have got to deny ourselves. Deny ourselves. So much of life is about us, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. So much of our life is about us. It's me, 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 me. I want this and I want that and I ought to have this and I ought to have that and I want to do this and I want to do that. And oftentimes, I believe, in fact, perhaps I should say most of the time, you'll find that things that disrupt the harmony and the unity in churches are things that are about me, things that I want to see done. You know, if we will focus on our love for the Lord and focus on the things that the Lord wants to have done and place our importance upon that, then we won't have many of the problems that surface from time to time. But I'll tell you what, whenever something becomes about me, whether it's in a family or whether it's in a church, when you get people following after what suits me, you're going to have disruptions and you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems. But this doesn't belong to us, does it? The church does not belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. And it's ours. It's our responsibility to take care of what belongs to the Lord. All right? They came to Jesus. This is in Matthew chapter 22. These people came to Jesus tempting him. And they said, Lord, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Which of them is the greatest? And the Lord said, well, it's this. Matthew 22, 37. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, how? With your voice? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And you know what Jesus said? He said, on these two things hang all the law and the prophets. What was the fulfilling of the law? What does the Bible tell us was the fulfilling of the law? It was love. I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ, in his love for us, Jesus Christ gave it all. He gave it all. Do you love the Lord enough to give it all? I believe that's the question that we need to ask ourselves. And I believe that's what he wanted to know from Peter. Do you love the Lord enough? I'm afraid, folks, that in many ways, I'll just tell you the truth today, and you can do what you want with it. I hope you'll receive it, and I hope that you'll believe it. But I'm afraid today that we have reached a point where it's difficult for us to even completely give ourselves over to the Lord, it seems, for that one day that he has sanctioned for that purpose. I don't know where we ever got the idea along the way that we could profane the Sabbath however we wanted to, but we sure have adopted that thought, haven't we? It seems like that oftentimes, and you know what? Listen, folks, this is between you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. It's between you it's up to you to work it out between you and Him. But it seems like that we can't even focus on the Lord and on our love for the Lord. Oftentimes, to even make it through one day, you know, we can't seem to, you know, we can't seem to gather here even on Sunday morning. And then when time rolls around for the Sunday evening worship service, for some reason we just can't, very many can't even seem to come back and focus one day on giving one day totally to the Lord and to the service of the Lord. It seems like that oftentimes when God begins to work among us, when He begins to move by the power of His Spirit and begins to draw the lost to Him, they come down here and they bow on an altar to pray, and we can't even stay together for the service. We've got to leave before the benediction because we have social events that we have put on our schedule that we've got to go to. Let me ask you today, you don't have to like the question. I didn't come here concerned about whether or not you would like the question. My concern is that you would ponder the question, that we would ask ourselves this in our own heart. When sinners are bowed, seeking the Lord, trying to find the same thing in their hearts that we've got in our hearts, can we not tarry with them even through one worship service and stay with them? Do we not even love the Lord enough to forsake the things of this world even on His Sabbath day and give ourselves wholly to the Lord? I'll tell you what, I'm thankful that when it came time for Jesus, when that notable day came, when it was time for Jesus to die for our sins, I'm thankful that He hadn't put some social event on His calendar that day and said, well, you know, if we don't get this done by noon, I'm not going to be able to do it because I've got to leave. I mean, the Lord gave His all, folks. He gave His all for us. Oh, I can't, you know, I've got to go home. I know the service is still going on, but I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I got to get out of here. I don't believe the Lord felt very well physically when He was crucified. But He stayed. And He finished the work. Behold, when you think about your love for the Lord, think about this. 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We got too much glitter and glamour for the world in our eyes, don't we? Do you love Him enough to teach your children that the Sabbath day is for God? And if the schools want you to do this and do that, I'm sorry, we can't do that. It's been set aside to worship God. But folks, listen, we have given in to everything. We have let the world dictate what they're going to do. We have allowed the public schools to dictate what they're going to do. We're going to have our plays and our sporting events and all those things on the Lord's Day. And did the Christian parents in general say, no, we won't participate in that. We won't be there. Why, no, we gave right into those things. You may not like it, but it's the truth. Amen. We gave right into those things. And here we end up sitting in the stadiums and the theaters and what have you when we ought to be worshiping the Lord and showing our love for the Lord. Here's what Jesus did. Philippians 2 and 8. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know what that word means, humbled? You know what that means? You know what Jesus did? He emptied himself. He gave it all. Folks, I'm telling you, he gave it all. He emptied himself and became obedient unto death, even the cruel, cruel death of the cross. People have loved him enough through the years to die for his cause. The pages of history are full of it. People loved him enough to die for his cause. There have been people that secured this old time way by giving their lives. They loved him enough that they were not willing to forsake him. They gave up their very lives in order that the gospel might be preserved and that it might get to the next generation to follow them. They died for the cause of Christ. I'm asking today, are we willing and do we love him enough to live for the cause of Christ? Do we love him enough to obey his word? Do we love him enough to present our bodies to him a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is perhaps as we read in the Bible, our reasonable service, by the way. Amen. And to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me ask you this. If you're here today and you're lost, do you love the Lord enough, or do you desire salvation enough to come to him and just give it all up to the Lord and seek him with all your heart to be saved? Let me ask you this today, Christian friend. Do you love the Lord enough? Are you thankful enough for what he did for you? Do you love him enough today to come before him here and repent of the things that you know are not right in your life and get rid of them? Are you willing to ask the Lord to take anything out of your life that doesn't look like Jesus? Anything that doesn't resemble him, are you willing to get rid of it? If we love him with all our heart, we will be. We will be. We'll be willing to forsake those things and repent of those things and say, Lord, let me abound. Let me abound in my love for you. I was living in Illinois. My children had grown up there. I pastored there for going on 11 years. Children were all young when we went there. They grew up there. They all graduated high school there. They all had gone out on their own. And the time came when the Lord called and we had to leave them all behind. That was hard. That was hard for us. But I had to go where the Lord wanted me. Preachers, do you love him enough to go where he calls you to go? If you have to leave houses and land behind, if you have to leave family behind, do you love him enough to go where he calls you to go? Our little granddaughter that was just down here, boy, I'd love to be with her all the time. But I got to be where the Lord wants me to be. And you can ask me today, well, Brother Miller, are you standing up there boasting before us? Absolutely not. I'm concerned about my love for the Lord. I'm concerned about myself. I'm concerned about my level of love for the Lord, because with what He did for us, we ought to love Him. It shouldn't be any problem for us to love Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul and all of our mind. But it seems that we can let the least little thing distract us and take us away from our allegiance and our love for Christ. Those are my thoughts today. That's what the Lord gave me to bring to you. And if it bothered you, I don't apologize for any of it. Amen. Not any of it. I believe it's true. I believe that's what has happened to us. And I pray that God will help us. I'll tell you what, if we're ever going to, I believe if we're going to ever see things repaired as a nation the way that we hope to and the way that we're burdened about, I believe there's going to have to be some things repaired within before they're going to be repaired without. That's my message today. Let's have a song. If you're here today and you're lost, I want to invite you and urge you to come to the Lord to seek Him and be saved. If you're here today and you're saved, you need to get rid of something out of your life. I encourage you to do the same thing. Give it to the Lord. Repent of it and ask Him to help you while we stand and sing.
Number 237, 237.
I am Thine, O Lord, I have heard Thy voice, and it told Thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to Thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in Thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before Thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with Thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the precious bleeding.